said, I wish I was a tree. The tree said, I wish I could be a different kind of tree. The cat wished that it was a bee. And in the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish, a wish to be a big cat.
Well, I don't know, Daniel. It's like old times. You know what? It's just, we're just...
We're going we're for on, it.
Well, listen.
Because I've missed it.
Me too. You know what? And by the way, just so everybody knows, we are already having some preliminary discussions about who are our next 15 directors, and we've certainly got on our possibilities checklist well more than 15 already.
I know.
So, you know.
Open for suggestions always, right?
Even in our first 15, there's one or two that were suggested to us, and you know, we'll take it, right?
I know, man.
So, Daniel, you and I have something in common.
Right.
And I'm sure it's something we have in common with many of our listeners, and that is we have little people living in our homes.
Right. I have two boys.
Yeah. Sweetest kids, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Jerry.
Sweetest kids.
Well, so, yeah, my kids love movies. We have movie nights. I mean, and I'm sure that that's the same for you, so, right?
Yeah, same here. Now, we of course, have a little guy. I think I've mentioned in the past we're foster parents. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's part of it. In the modern world, you've got to look at the programming. You got to monitor the programming.
I know, it's true.
I love film so much. You know, yeah, it hurts me sometimes that he wants to watch just things that are just awful.
Right. Like what? Give me an example.
Oh, you know what? I heard a quote once from an author that I respect saying, something that is cliche to you is brand new to a child. And so don't let a cliche be the reason that you don't want. And that's hard for me because, you know, I want everything that I consume to just be rich and good and all that. And it just doesn't work that way necessarily.
But I think it's also important to name that you're an artist and you create. So you actually work very hard to not fall into that trap as well.
You're right.
So you notice, I'm sure you notice it even, I mean, just immediately, it's right there.
And even with some great, like for example, we watched this Moana.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen this
one. I have not seen it. I mean, honestly, I've listened to that soundtrack like probably 100 times.
Yeah.
But not seen the film.
Which is a great soundtrack and a great film. I want to say that up front. It's a great film.
It is,
just visually beautiful, inventive. I was bothered early on, though, when, you know, we start watching it. And what's the very first thing that happens is you see a little girl getting a speech from her dad.
Of course.
You're a princess, and princesses are supposed to act in a certain way, don't you know? But dad, and I'm like, are we really, we're doing that already? I mean, I heard this was the most creative movie in the world. And of course it came around and it got really good. But why do we have to just fall back on these same things? Can't we see a little girl be the hero of a movie and have her not be a princess? You know, there's things like that that they stick in my craw a little bit. And so, yeah, I mean, I've got my prejudices, but, you know, you take the good with the bad, I guess. I don't know.
Did he enjoy Moana?
Yeah, I mean, just from a visual standpoint. Now, he's, you know, he's limited.
Right.
And what he's able to discern about, you know, complex characters and plots and those kinds of things. But purely from a visual perspective and the music and all that, he loved it. He loved it.
Right. I mean, that is a tricky thing with films that are for kids, or because you don't know how a child's going to receive something. Right. Yeah. Recently, we let my 4-year-old watch The Good Dinosaur. Well, so a funny story is we actually went to go see the Peanuts movie.
Right.
But for whatever reason, somehow lines got crossed and he was expecting The Good Dinosaur the whole time. So he just thought that the Peanuts movie was like a long prelude to The Good Dinosaur. So he kept, like halfway through the movie, he asked me, so when's The Good Dinosaur coming out? Yeah. I think it was The Great Dinosaur at that point. So we promised him, okay, we're going to watch it. So we started watching it, and that movie's actually really sad.
Yeah.
And dark.
It is.
Like he couldn't handle it. He wouldn't say that. Like, we could kind of tell, like, oh, he's just not enjoying this process.
Right.
So it's amazing that you don't, like, and obviously for us, we've seen so many other things. That's not a new concept, death and losing your parent or anything like that. But for a child, they haven't explored that idea or thought about that. And I mean, it's an interesting thing that things that aren't new for you are new for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, and to be fair, while there's a lot of crap, there's also a lot of great stuff.
Right.
Genuinely. You know, we talked about this a little bit in advance. And in fact, I want to say, Was it your wife that suggested the specialty?
Yeah, so my wife, Mandy, she said, I think for a special, you guys should really consider doing it like a children's movie. You know, and you should be, because this is a time, you know, like around the summer months, that a lot of different children's movies are coming out, and it gives families an opportunity to go to the movies, especially in Southern California when it's really hot.
Yeah.
And so she said, I think you guys should consider that. And we were all about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be honest, at first, I was like, well, I don't consider myself a connoisseur of kids' movies. Mm-hmm. Now, I enjoy animation. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what? This is something that people want recommendations for. In the book industry, children's books sell more than any other type of book. It's just, you know, people are looking for great children's books.
Yeah, for sure.
Same goes for children's films. I don't know if you ever notice, but if you go to buy a DVD of a great children's film, these things don't ever discount. They stay expensive for their entire life. It's because people always want them.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It's true. But like I say, there are some great ones. And well, you know, as always, Daniel, you and I have come up with a couple of different children's movies to personally recommend.
Right.
Not necessarily freshman film. Actually, I don't even know if mine's a freshman film.
I think mine might be actually a freshman film. Not intentionally. I mean, this is the film that came to mind immediately.
Yeah.
When we talked about this, and I looked it up briefly in preparation for recording, and I think it might be this person's freshman film.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, listen, I got to know now. What is your pick for children's film that you're recommending?
Okay, so here's my pick, and it's an older animated film. It came out the year I was born, so in 1982. And I watched this a lot when I was little. And I remember we had a VHS copy of it.
I'm so worried you're going to say like Watership Down or something. The children's film. It's disturbing.
Yeah, for sure. No, so the children's film I'm going to choose is The Secret of Nim, Don Bluth. And I think it was this freshman film.
Freshman film of Don Bluth.
Yeah, so The Secret of Nim. Not the reason I chose it, but a funny coincidence. So The Secret of Nim, there's so many scenes of that film that have been imprinted in my brain and that I have not forgotten.
Yeah, this is not light fare, by the way, for as far as a kid's movie goes.
I know. And I think I saw it. The last time I saw it was pre-kids, but not too much. So maybe 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
Because I was just like, oh, man, I haven't seen this in so long. Yeah. And I actually remember thinking at that point, I watched this when I was, you know, a child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if I would take the risk of letting my kids watch it. I think with my 4-year-old, if I was watching it with him, I think I might consider it. So the movie is a little bit darker. And so the premise of the film is it follows this mouse named Mrs. Brisby, and she and other mice, this like colony of animals and rodents in particular, live like in this farmland. And her son Timmy is sick, has pneumonia. And so she's looking, but moving day, quote unquote, they call it moving day when they all have to move because it's when the plow is going to come through and basically take away their home. Right. And so they have to move, but Timmy's too sick to move. So she goes on like this journey of needing to find medicine for her son. But along the way, I mean, she encounters so many weird things. That's the thing about this movie, I remember, is all of this weird fantasy-like pieces to this story.
Yeah.
The thing that I think I remember, even as a kid, appreciating was the sense of, oh, wow, like this is a high-stakes story.
Yeah.
Which is, I remember thinking of this a similar thing about American Tale, right? Which is another Don mm-hmm, Bluth film, mm-hmm. The Land Before Time.
Yeah.
So this is like this story of people need to save each other.
Yeah. People, I guess, I don't know. Don Bluth? I mean, you have people in having to deal with the consequences of very adult things.
Yeah.
Come, come, let's return to the rose bush.
Nim's coming.
Nim?
In the morning.
Nim?
Yes. You will all die unless you leave the farm tonight.
Lies.
Please, you must believe me.
What if it's true?
We'll all be killed.
Don't panic.
Don't listen. She's hysterical.
Get out now.
You get out. I've had enough.
Jenna.
Justin. Justin.
And I remember that just grabbing hold of me even then.
Yeah.
Thinking, Like, I just remember it doing something to me.
Right.
And I think that's why it's just lasted for, like, so long in my brain. But anyway, Mrs. Brisby, she goes on this adventure, and, like, there are these rats who've been modified and kind of tampered with by the National Institute of Mental Health, hence NIM.
Right.
And they've become as smart or almost as smart as humans, and so they're trying to think about how do we take over this, or should they? So there's a lot of these adult themes going on in this movie that I didn't even know about as a kid. But I remember, and I remember being really touched by this mother and her do what it takes to help her son who is sick. It's an interesting story to tell in animated fashion where there's a heroine. She's a widow, and she's trying to take care of her family. I mean, that's like a really, it's just a really interesting theme. So, I mean, that's my pick, and it's my pick because I think it's told in childlike terms, at least as you think in terms of animation, but it is one of those films that I think is an entry point into some more like adult kind of mature themes.
Yeah, some really, there's always a little bit of darkness there in these Don Bluth films. It's been a while, I'll admit, since I saw Secret of NIMH, but he has such a very specific animation style.
Yeah, I was curious. I was so excited to kind of bring this up with you because, you know, there's so many things that are lost on me not being an animator. So, yeah, I'm curious.
The thing that I always remember with Don Bluth films, and specifically with his animation style, is how he animates sort of non-living material, like liquid and mud leaves and grass and all these kind. He has a way of making these things move that feels very authentic, but at the same time, there's this kind of fantastic edge to it. For some reason, in every Don Bluth film, he loves mud.
Right.
He loves people falling in mud.
Yes, and I know there's a scene where that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's in all of his films. It happens in, you know, in An American Tale and Land Before Time. There are these muddy scenes, and they're so hypnotic because the way he has this, you know, this mud and liquid and, you know, and water and rain and all these kinds of things, the way he treats, I guess, liquid material is so interesting because it adds to the life and the personality of what's going on around it. It's easier for cell animation to do things like, well, you know, they do the traditional, they'll paint the backgrounds and they'll paint the objects, but the characters are fully, you know, full cell animation and those kinds of things. And they just kind of are working with these sort of stiff objects. But Don Bluth doesn't do that. He likes to take even bits of environments and animate those as well instead of having them be still paintings.
That's awesome.
And it's really, really intriguing. Like, what is it about these things that, you know, that you feel, because animation is not cheap, by the way.
Right.
Particularly traditional animation. And Don Bluth has a reason that he wants to give these environments a certain personality, this Don Bluth personality, especially in a film like The Secret of NIMH. I mean, it's kind of essential because it is partly a movie about the environment that Miss Brisby is in.
Of course.
I mean, it's a really fascinating pick, and I think I was similar. I remember seeing The Secret of NIMH in the theater as a little kid.
Really?
Yeah, and I remember being on edge during it because you don't know what's quite coming, and you assume it's a cartoon, so I assume it's all going to kind of work out, but it doesn't leave you without any marks and scars as you go, and that's as it should be.
So I feel like that's an appropriate pick for Daniel Long. You know, it's a kid's movie, but you might feel a little sad at the end of it.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. I endorse this pick.
All right, what's yours?
So here's a true story. Like I said, we have a little guy in the house, and he has a knack often for, you know, when we're scrolling through the kids' channel on Netflix, for pointing at the thing that everyone wants to see the very least and saying, "That's it. That's the one that I want." Where we were going through Hulu recently. I want to see that. I want to see that. He pointed to one. I looked at him. I looked at my wife and I said, "You get 5 minutes with this movie. And if I'm not impressed, I'm turning it off."
Really?
Yeah. I laid it out for him.
Wait, so you had not seen this?
No, never. I'd never even heard of it.
Oh, and I said, awesome. Okay. This is so good.
And so, you know, I looked at Carrie and she said, yeah, all right. I'll agree to that. And I said, all right. I mean it, buddy. 5 minutes. I turn it on, and 2 minutes in, I was like, yeah, there's no way this is going to stay on. This is it. This is it. 5 minutes in, I was so mesmerized. No. I was like, I don't care if he tells me to change the channel. I have to see how this goes.
And he was enjoying it too.
Yeah, the whole family was just
everybody
rapt
wow.
attention.
Just
amazing.
You know what? Don't tell us.
Don't tell us
the pick. Just leave us, because I'm like on the edge of my seat right now.
It'll never live up. Well, so the movie is one of the most unique animated films I feel like I've seen, because it doesn't follow any rule that I've ever seen an animated film follow. And I'm going to get the name wrong, so let me make sure that I have it right. It's a film from 2014, a French film. No big deal that it's a French film, because there's no dialogue throughout the whole film.
What?
So you would never know. It's directed by Helene Giraud and Thomas Sabot. I don't know that I'm saying those names right, but that's it. And the film is called Minuscule, Valley of the Lost Ants.
What?
You've probably never heard
of it. Never heard of it.
I certainly hadn't. So the plot line of Minuscule, it follows a ladybug. And everything that happens to this ladybug following the events of a couple's picnic out in a park, or kind of out in the wilderness. The couple's out and they're having a nice lunch. She's pregnant. She goes into labor. The couple jumps in their car and they drive away. By the way, all live action.
That's what I'm about to say. So it's all live action.
This is live action, but this is the thing. It's the animation it's CG enhanced live action.
Whoa.
So.
And you said there's no dialogue?
There's no dialogue whatsoever. So, you know, she starts having labor pains, she leaves. And then the rest of the story is we're just following a ladybug. I won't get into all the details, but we're following the adventures of this ladybug character as it comes in contact with two rival colonies of ants that are at war, all these different types of bugs and creatures and stuff that are real creatures and bugs and stuff that live out in the wilderness. And the setting for all this is actually real wilderness. All the sets...
Whoa.
And all the backgrounds are actual photography, but it's just CG on top of it. And it's so well done that you don't know where the CG starts and ends and where the real world starts and ends, because it's just so beautifully done.
Wow.
But it's fun and it's unexpected. And there's just this sort of poppiness to the animation. And the thing that I love about it is it's so contrary to anything that we see in any other children's entertainment. We're always used to like, okay, well, here's the story of the poor orphan child that's
right.
dealing with this. Here's the story of the princess who, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's the hero that realizes his destiny when he blah, 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 you
yes.
know. And these are great stories, and they're our modern mythology for a reason, and I respect that. But it's so refreshing to look and find this hidden gem, this movie, Minuscule.
That's amazing.
Valley of the Lost Ants, in which, you know, it's the story of the drama that's going on under our feet that we never really realize.
Wow.
And this is the other thing too. We never get any close-ups on anything.
What? So it's all like wide, like
it's all wides and mediums of what these bugs are doing.
Whoa.
So that's another like intriguing thing. Even as I describe it, it just probably sounds like, yeah, I just can't see how that's any good. And I would agree with you. Like, how can that possibly be good? But it is. We never get a close-up on anyone. We never see facial expressions on any bugs or anything like that. We just see the body language and the bounce of the animation. And, you know, they do put little eyes on them. And so you see blinking and those kinds of things. But otherwise, one of the most creative things I've seen in years. The fact that it's aimed at kids mm-hmm. and it's something that you can watch with your kids and it's completely contrary to the formula you're used to. I don't know. I was excited when this came on. It was a real find.
Man, I'm going to have to watch this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here's the thing about movies for kids these days is that it's almost like they try to be movies for adults.
Yeah.
And they keep kids in mind.
Right.
It's not the other way around. It's not movies for kids and they keep adults in mind.
Right.
And I just don't know how I feel about that. So my family and I, we went and saw Cars 3.
Yeah.
Cars 3, it's like they were trying to tell all of these really in-depth stories about, you know, someone coming to terms with who they aren't, and then someone coming to terms with who they are, and right. these long scenes of dialogue between these two characters coming to these moments of epiphany. I'm like, you know, at one point my 2-year-old is so bored he just wants to take his shirt off and walk around the theater. So I'm like, those aren't the types of films our kids need.
Yeah.
So Minuscule sounds like, this is really cool, right? It focuses on this ladybug that you're following.
You're following and you're really, it's fictionalized and it's highly dramatized. And yeah, it's at a fantastical level, sort of. But the style of it is such that it has this weird sort of authenticity. Like you feel like you are watching a metaphor for the realities of nature. One of the problems that I have is that so many of the entertainments that are aimed at children don't really take into account the way they leave children when the movie's done.
Mm, yeah, that's
well said. They leave kids in such a way, sometimes in this very sort of amped up adrenaline rush, kind of a little mini child fury or something,
right,
you know,
right.
where they've been so saturated with fast, bright, colorful imagery and quick cuts. And, you know, I don't know what the cause of ADD is or anything like that, but I do know that most of these entertainments are not helping, you mm-hmm. know? And I see the way that, you know, our little guy is just buzzing around and all this kind of stuff after some of these shows. And I'm like, well, of course, no kidding. Like, you know, we're slamming in on these tight close-ups and, you know, and we're cutting to dance numbers with, you know, pop songs and all
right.
this kind of stuff. And, you know, there's Pharrell is singing in the background and there's just a legion of, you know, whatever it is, peacocks and penguins and everything that under the sun. And it's this sensory overload sort of thing. And the idea that you can entertain a kid without doing that, but still having a competent use of animation and have some educational value underneath it.
Right.
That's so rare and that's mm-hmm. so hard to find. That's part of the reason that I was so drawn into this, because I feel like I kind of just want to support it in a way. Parents don't really, I think parents have kind of given up in
yeah,
a way. And I don't say that disrespectfully. I mean, because what are they supposed to give their kids? That's what's out there. It was just this constant sugar rush, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that that's exactly what it is. It's not, you can have depth without being boring, right? And yeah. it seems like you often have to choose between those two. It's you have to have something that's, my kids are going to like it only because it's animated.
Right.
Not because the story is really intriguing or it envelops or takes into account a child's imagination.
Sure.
Or it's just basically like a music video for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And those do often seem like the two options.
Yeah.
But those aren't the only two options.
Yeah.
And Minuscule and Secret of Nim, I think, show us that, no, there's more out there. There are other things that our kids can watch and enjoy.
So needless to say, if you're at home and you're a parent or you're an aunt or an uncle or you're just someone who's looking after kids, and let's face it, it's summertime and yeah, we all want the kids to go outside and play and make friends and all that. But you know what? There's going to be some evenings and some mornings and some just lazy summer days. They're going to stay inside. They're going to watch TV. Give them something good to watch.
Right. And let's be honest, sometimes as parents, we're like, we just want to watch a movie with our kids. We're tired and we want to be with our kids, but at the same time, want to kind of...
share something with them, right?
Yeah, share something.
Yeah. Secret of Nim. Minuscule. Watch them. Seek them out. They're good films. They're good films for your kids to see. Yeah, maybe, you know, in the case of Secret of Nim, maybe there's an age when they're going to be ready for it and, you know, that kind of thing. But you know what? Maybe kids can handle more than we think they can. Who knows?
That's a good point.
Why not? Well, listen, Daniel, I say this to you as someone who I know is a great father. Thanks for this recommendation. Thanks for doing this special.
And here's the thing about Jeremy, with your pick that I love, is I never would have known about this movie if your little guy didn't say that one.
That's right.
And I love that you gave him the opportunity to say that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, you had boundaries, right? Pretty strict boundaries.
Yeah, listen, it's not a free for all here at the Bear household.
But I love that. And that's so, I love that you guys can share that together. And at the end of it, you can look at him and say, thank you.
Yeah.
Right? That's cool.
That's exactly
that's
it.
That's great.
So anyway, from our family, from our children, to your home, to your ears, enjoy some great kids' movies this summer. And thanks for joining us for our summer kids movie special.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Look at me. All together now.